The city of Lel lies on the remarkable lake of many colors, where 100 million fragments merge and remerge into billions and billions of intense patterns. One can spend multiple lifetimes watching its fantastic, ever-swirling waves and never, not even once, see a representation repeated. However, no one comes to Lel to watch the lake. No. Lel is an international city where guests from a million different sectors are fully welcomed, as long as their cash holds out. It is where one comes to mine the most precious mineral of all, the mineral of information. They say that the resort city of Lel has over 4,000 spies. That's not counting the taxi drivers, the hotel staff, the Farcot dealers in the casino, the uni barkeepers, the Antonine fortune tellers, the ever-present Coopsie girls, any one of whom will gladly gather whatever information that is requested for a sizable tip. Lel is where information is acquired, bartered, stolen, resold, confirmed, and falsified. Rumors about rumors, and the possibility of even more rumors fill the luxury suites with spies of every shape, size, language family, and quadrant of origin.
Despicable Brute, an original story by Appaloosa Radio, from the Continuing City of 4,000 Spies series.
If noble son Dushko Rurko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasko, were ever to write his memoirs, telling about his entanglement in the world of espionage, he could tell of great schemes involving the greatest of empires and nations. He could also tell of well-planned assassinations that were eons in planning and implementation. He could tell of technologies stolen, and of other, even more secret technologies created to solve the most difficult problems. He could tell of those he loved and those he had to sacrifice. But he could also write of brutish individuals who met even more brutish ends. He might tell the tale of Chil Ez, a minor figure in the larger scheme, but one whose brutality was beyond despicable. To be truthful, neither Dushko Rurko nor the Dominion of Sasko were directly involved in the killing of JXZ.Alpha Chil Ez. Nonetheless, they both celebrated it. And it led to a most productive long-term friendship between the JXZ, city-state, and the Dominion.
PNB7Q. Noble son, we have received a distress message from a freighting enterprise that we do not have official relations with.
Of course, the Dominion of Sasko will render assistance to any vessel needing it. It is our primary obligation.
Noble son, unfortunately, this creates a difficult situation for us. The freighting enterprise is transporting slaves from the Burnjo sector. Under Decree CP9-561, we are forbidden from rendering assistance to any entity that is transporting enslaved individuals.
I am aware of the decree. My grandfather was vehemently opposed to slavery. We will render assistance, but we will seize the enslaved individuals and then free them.
Unfortunately, the commander of the vessel has communicated his threat to blow up the vessel, including all of the enslaved individuals, if we demand that he give up his cargo.
And if we forego providing assistance, then all aboard will also die.
I believe that is true. The condition of the vessel is quite serious.
I suggest we plan a subterfuge. We render assistance, but also send a special operations military unit and seize the vessel by force at an opportune moment.
Unfortunately, noble son, that will not be possible. I have just received a message that the commander of the distressed vessel and a small number of crew members have escaped in a launch. As they departed the vessel, they blew it up, killing all who were left on board.
Ruthless. barbaric, vicious. Document the name of the vessel's commander. If they ever enter into the sovereign territory of the Dominion, they will be arrested, tried, and probably executed.
The commander of the vessel was of JXZ Alpha Chiles, the firstborn son of a minor nobleman from the JXZ, city-state in the Epsilon Quadrant. Notice of arrest is herewith posted.
Since the reign of the 14th Great Nobleman, Sasko had been a neutral between the two great powers, the Empire Shayat and the Kingdom Gye. The Dominion of Sasko did not have the military might of either. So, it relied on its nexus of carefully constructed alliances, its uncanny diplomatic skills, and its clandestine spying operations. However, on some issues, the Dominion had taken an unbending moral stand. Its opposition to the enslavement of persons by military force was paramount among these. If any enslaved person entered, by whatever means, the territories of the Dominion, that person was granted unequivocal and perpetual freedom and offered an opportunity for citizenship in the Dominion. The small city-state designated as JXZ City was in the Epsilon Quadrant, which was nominally controlled by the Kingdom Gye, but since it was far from major constellations, it had been allowed considerable local autonomy. At the time that JXZ.Alpha Chiles piloted his distressed vessel into the home space of the Dominion of Sasko, JXZ City and its neighboring League of City-States were in open rebellion against the Kingdom Gye. Rich mineral deposits had been discovered, and the nobles from the League had decided to fully develop this resource themselves, in opposition to the colonial intentions of the venerable Kingdom Gye. It was to work those mineral deposits that freighting enterprises were dispatched to acquire, by whatever means, a substantial cadre of healthy slaves from the peaceful Burnjo sector. It was only by a navigational anomaly that the freighting enterprise entered the home space region of Sasko.
To my friends, comrades, and adversaries, the Epsilon Quadrant has been rocked by this violence. It is a time of the gravest concerns. Our once great and fraternal League of City-States has been fractured over the issue of how to develop the newly discovered mineral deposits that promise so much wealth for the Quadrant.
To my friends, comrades, and adversaries, the Epsilon Quadrant has been rocked by this violence. It is a time of the gravest concerns. Our once great and fraternal League of City-States has been fractured over the issue of how to develop the newly discovered mineral deposits that promise so much wealth for the Quadrant. However, some, for their own personal profit, have joined in open rebellion against the Kingdom Gay.
Our beloved protector and ancient founder. We have flourished for eons within their reign and control. Their elder has been our father. We in the Epsilon Quadrant have been his children. I say to you that the time has come to end this fratricidal violence and return again to the great commonwealth that the Kingdom Gia has provided for us.
Traitor! Spoken like the blithering and stupid coward that you are. There are 19 cities in our league. 13 have chosen the course of brave action and have asserted our independence from the stumbling and feeble kingdom of G. Only 7 have chosen the cowardly alternative of placating that old and doddering kingdom. These 7 seek a disgraceful peace, willing to abandon honor for the sake of a supposed peace. Our future is ours. Our future is ours. Our future is ours.
I will not have a future built on the enslavement of others.
Then you will die and die now.
Traitor. Spoken like the blithering and stupid coward that you are.
There are 19 cities in our league. 13 have chosen the course of brave action and have asserted our independence from the stumbling and feeble kingdom of Gilead. Only 7 have chosen the cowardly alternative of placating that old and doddering kingdom. We 7 seek a disgraceful peace, willing to abandon honor for the sake of a supposed peace. Our future is ours. Our future is ours. Our future is ours.
I will not have a future built on the enslavement of others.
Then you will die and die now.
Chil-Ez drew an ancient ceremonial blade from beneath his mantle and charged at the elderly Ballinger. With a single stroke, he severed his head, and then held it high so all could see, while he shrilly screamed in vengeance.
Did you see what I did to that old fool, the Lord Ballinger? He called this stupid conclave of all the city-states in the Epsilon Quadrant. He thought he could persuade us. Persuade us? Never. We knew our course. And it was not backwards as a perpetual colony in that ancient and doddering kingdom. Thus, it was at this supposed conclave that I drew my grandfather's blade, one that his grandfather had often carried into battle, and used it to murder the Lord Ballinger. One stroke, a single stroke, and he was gone forever. In the months that followed, my rebel forces brought unmitigated violence against those 6 city-states that had chosen to remain loyal. I tell you with pride that I did more than my share, killing the stupid, torturing others. They will long remember the vengeance of JXZ Alpha Chil-Ez. Some say that my most deplorable action was what we did to the city-state L1412. 16,000 slaughtered and the city itself completely razed. And it was because of a trick that I thought up. They'll long sing songs by 1,000 campfires about how Chil-Ez tricked the leaders of L1412 into opening the city's gates to provide care for a group of severely wounded victims. They fell for that humanitarian line. Of course, it was a ruse, a sham. With the gates open, my Hellions poured in and then killed at will. They'll long sing songs by 1,000 campfires about how ruthless, barbaric, vicious I was. They'll remember and they'll be afraid.
Most deplorable move.
JXZ.Alpha Chil Ez was the eldest born of the nobleman JZ Gamma Umtro T. The family had made its vast fortunes over the eons by freighting materials and commodities into the very rural and distant Epsilon Quadrant, trading with all 19 cities of the League under special license authority from the Kingdom Gi. Like all such license authority, it had been purchased with bribes, but such was an insignificance compared to the excessive profits to be made. However, when mineral deposits were discovered, the profits garnered through transport and trade were now regarded as minuscule. Chil Ez was one of the first to advocate for leaving the prior businesses and to move, instead, to the more profitable mining ventures. He envisioned accumulating vast sums of personal wealth. Unfortunately for such plans, the Kingdom Gye made a different choice. It granted exclusive mining rights to an ancient Gye family, one with close ties to the crown. One willing to pay a considerable bribe. This left the would-be entrepreneurs of the Epsilon Quadrant on the outside away from the profit-making opportunities. Enraged, Chil Ez and his fellow renegades declared the Quadrant a free and independent state with no continuing ties to the ancient kingdom. Open rebellion. They sought revenge. They sought extreme wealth. They formulated a bloody and lengthy rebellion. To maximize their own profit, the renegades made the enslavement of others the official, and preferred, policy of the rebel states. The mineral deposits lay deep in fragile rock layers that were both difficult and dangerous to work in. And, extracting the deposits by mechanical means proved impossible. That meant that the deposits had to be extracted using simple hand tools. Many thousands of workers toiling under difficult and dangerous conditions. But the Epsilon Quadrant had a relatively small population, not of sufficient size to efficiently mine the deposits. Many eons in the past, the archaic Kingdom Gye had employed a vast number of slaves to develop its own economic interests. However, that time was long past. Slavery was illegal in any and all forms within the Kingdom Gye. Chil Ez and his fellow renegades formulated their rebellion in large part to re-establish enslavement within the Epsilon Quadrant. And since the family of Chil Ez had been intergalactic freighters for generations, he organized many highly profitable slave hunting expeditions. On one expedition to the helpless Burnjo sector, his freighter had run into mechanical problems and had to enter Sasko's home space.
PNB7Q. Noble Sun, I have an update on a situation that we dealt with some 43 past tense ago regarding the individual JXZ Alpha, Chil Ez, whom we banned in perpetuity from the Dominion's national regions.
JXZ.Alpha Chil Ez. I remember the individual well. A real brute from an insignificant city-state in the Epsilon Quadrant. I remember he was commanding a vessel with 14,380 enslaved citizens from the Burnjo sector. I remember that he murdered them all, rather than submit to justice. A beetle-like being, ruthless, barbaric, vicious. A creature of the lowest order.
Noble Sun, I agree with your opinion regarding the individual JXZ Alpha Chiles. Shall I continue with my update?
Yes, please do.
You may remember, Noble Sun, that the individual JXZ Alpha Chiles was an instigator of a rebellion against the Kingdom Gear. He led a group of city-states that sought to overthrow the Kingdom's governance of the Epsilon Quadrant. Unfortunately for these rebels, the insurrection did not go well. The Kingdom Gie was able to quell it with a mere 3 battle groups.
I understand your attempt at irony, PNB7Q. 3 battle groups represent an enormous military force, well-trained, well-equipped, well-led. However fussy and fastidious the Kingdom Shea seems to be, its military remains without equal. The Epsilon Quadrant rebels were overmatched. So what happened to JXZ.AlphaChiles?
Yes, it was a mild attempt at irony. I anticipated that you would recognize it immediately. To answer your query, JXZ.AlphaChiles and a small remnant of his military forces escaped to a garrison planet controlled by the Empire Sharyot.
From the proverbial frying pan into the fire.
Always a most strange, archaic expression. Yes, the Empire Sharyot continuously views such amnesty immigrants with considerable suspicion. Nonetheless, the individual JXZ.AlphaChiles attempted to open a freighting business. You may remember that his family had been engaged in such businesses for multiple eons. Through an agent, he sought to hire a freighting boss, one who was responsible for the actual transport of goods.
I sense a longer narrative.
It makes for a most interesting story. One that reminds me of the so-called classic Western movie from times well past. An artistic form that some practitioners continue to use today.
Okay, giddy up, partner.
Our tale begins in a Wild West town called Independent City.
Independent City? I remember that you said that our villain had fled to a garrison planet controlled by the Empire Shayot. There would be nothing of independence in such a place. Total state control at all times for everyone.
You do not seem to be grasping the spirit of the story. Would you rather that I called the location Ax Jantoz, controlled by military sub-governor Yat-Zin the 45th?
Okay. Independent City will be fine. I can visualize the tumbleweeds rolling their way down the dusty street.
Now that you have seemed to grasp the spirit of the story, let me introduce our protagonist, Deputy Town Marshal James X. Peacock.
Peacock? Couldn't you have invented a name with more of a John Wayne flavor?
Noble Son, Peacock was the individual's actual name, Jung TXK Peacock.
So he was of the subspecies Undulata Jeeves, a genetic mutation that resembles a beetle, only logarithmically larger.
That is true, Noble Son, as was the villain of our story, the individual JXZ Alpha Chiles. Chiles was of the bright pink, two-headed sub-variety. Peacock was of the grey-green, speckled, one-head variety. In the Epsilon Quadrant, where both came from, the pinks were a dominant noble class and the greens were in a serf class. For generations, the Peacocks had been employees of the JXZ Alpha family, working in the transport businesses.
As you said a while ago, the individual, JXZ.AlphaChiles, was in the process of starting a freighting business in a garrison colony controlled by the Empire Shayot, and through an agent he sought to hire a freighting boss, one who was responsible for the actual transport of goods. I assume that is how Peacock encountered Chiles.
Yes, precisely, Noble Son. The report that I have been given says that Peacock worked for some time for this villain. Then, for reasons that I have not been able to determine, the villain JXZ.AlphaChiles struck Peacock's son with some sort of weapon.
Pistol whipped is what they used to say in the Old West. An individual is beaten with a metallic weapon designed to discharge metallic cartridges using a primitive explosive. Probably a very brutal beating, consistent with what we already know about his brute.
I concur with your analysis, Noble Son. Peacock's son was pistol whipped, and the action made the father extremely angry. I forgot to share an important element of the story. Peacock served as a minor guard in the material storage area for the Empire Shayot. In that capacity, he was allowed to carry a small caliber, two-shot weapon.
Not really a six-shooter, but something. I assume the villain was much more heavily armed.
Yes, and he had his gang who were also armed. Nonetheless, Peacock called him out. They met at dawn in an open courtyard. Peacock and his son on one side, and the villain and his gang on the other.
Really? Aren't you getting carried away with this Western gunfight stuff?
They confronted each other in a courtyard, and both were armed. But you're right, it wasn't at dawn, and they probably met each other by accident rather than design.
I can imagine the hostility. I have seen fights between members of the subspecies Undulata Jeeves. They always lather up before the confrontation. They completely cover themselves in a reddish-pink emulsion. Creates a terrible smell. Once the fight begins, it is brutal.
As this one in Independent City was, and it involved both the villain's gang and Peacock's son.
Quite a melee.
It lasted for an undetermined amount of time. Peacock disabled several members of the opposing gang and then turned his energies on JXZ Alpha Chiles. The report that I have received said that while Peacock held the villain on the ground, Peacock's son maneuvered the small weapon under an appendage of Chiles and discharged the weapon into his body cavity.
I assume that ended the fight.
Yes. With their leader dead, the gang fled the scene. Peacock himself was wounded multiple times during the struggle, but he was wholly undeterred.
It would not be a Western movie if it did not have a happy ending.
Yes, it did. With your permission, I'll play some music I have located that I think is appropriate for the story.
Now closing in, truth's ablaze beneath the skin.
Peacock eventually returned to the Epsilon Quadrant, where he was elected to a position on the governing council for his home city. That about does it for this tale.
Well, partner, I am ready to mosey down to the bar for a sarsaparilla.
I have no idea what sarsaparilla is.